Taiwan is a tough nut to crack. So what is the Chinese Communist Party's plan for an invasion? Welcome to China Uncensored, I'm Chris Chappell. Xi Jinping says his conquest of Taiwan is unstoppable. Is it though? Taiwan is not an easy target. It's easy to look at maps like this one and think, well, China is so big and Taiwan is so small, it would be easy for China to take Taiwan. But it's not that simple. The thing is, although the space between China and Taiwan looks small on a map, it's actually 110 miles across. And those 110 miles are not smooth sailing. It's got high waves, rough currents, strong winds, and especially in the summer, frequent typhoons, like this one. And no, I totally didn't laugh at this picture when I first saw it. That'd be nuts. Let's say a Chinese invasion force manages to get across. The beaches on the west side of the island are surrounded by very shallow water, making it difficult for ships to get close to offload troops and materials. And the east side of Taiwan is full of mountains, making landing virtually impossible. Not to mention that Taiwan is defended by its own small but highly trained and well-equipped military that just got an $11 billion arms package from the US on top of previous packages. Not this kind of package. Okay, I'll stop. Taiwan's Ministry of National Defense said its armed forces regularly survey major beaches and deploy Marine Corps to verify if beaches are potential landing sites. Civilian emergency response training has also become the norm on the island. That's kind of what happens when your neighbor is constantly looking at you like the biggest prize in a claw grab machine. So for all these reasons, despite the sheer size of the People's Liberation Army, and especially the PLA Navy, which is the largest navy in the world, taking Taiwan would still be quite the feat. According to one former submarine officer and expert at the Center for a New American Security, there is no question whatsoever that if you just look at the gray-painted PLA Navy amphibious assault shipping, it is nowhere near enough to do an invasion. Unfortunately, the CCP knows that. That's why the PLA has been rapidly modernizing, outproducing the US when it comes to naval shipbuilding, and conducting massive intimidation drills around Taiwan. I think it was Sun Tzu who said, if you can psych out your opponents and make it impossible for them to tell when the real attack is coming, you've got it made. Yeah, definitely Sun Tzu. So just how is the CCP planning on taking Taiwan? Well, no one knows for sure, of course, but there are some educated guesses. It all starts with shipbuilding. China's shipbuilding capacity dwarfs that of the United States, with China's big shipyards able to build roughly 232 times more tonnage than U.S. counterparts. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute says, while China's economy is crashing at an alarming rate and most Chinese defense firms are facing losses, those related to shipbuilding are still making money. China just commissioned its newest and most advanced aircraft carrier, and construction is already underway on their fourth aircraft carrier, and it's rumored to be nuclear-powered. But standard military ships can't land in shallow waters, and they can't land on Taiwan's existing ports because it's very likely that the Taiwanese military will destroy them rather than letting the CCP use them. Which is why the PLA has developed a fleet of barges that can make landings and resupply in Taiwan easier for troops and military vehicles. When China says it's building bridges with other nations, it's because they want to conquer them. But these would also be vulnerable to Taiwanese airstrikes as well as to the Taiwan Strait's harsh conditions. That's why they have a plan B. You see, China's also been racing ahead of the rest of the world when it comes to building ships for civilian uses. But a lot of these so-called civilian fleets are actually dual use, designed to be used by the PLA if necessary. In fact, since 2015, all civilian shipbuilders in China have been required to ensure that new ships can be used by the military in a national emergency. As an American, it makes me thankful for the Third Amendment, which prevents the military from commandeering my vehicles. Though I'm not sure what the US Army would need with my 92 Honda. China already uses civilian ships for military purposes all the time. For example, in the Spratly Islands. This is claimed by both China and the Philippines. So China pays Chinese fishermen more than they would make from their catch to just anchor there for at least 280 days as a way of asserting their territorial claim. What a way to spend the better part of a year. But that would be like me parking my 92 Honda and claiming it means I own Madison Square Garden. And besides the approximately 900-strong Spratly fleet, China also has over 200 other vessels that make up its professional maritime militia, which is better equipped and trained under direct government control and usually used for more aggressive purposes. This maritime militia frequently patrols through the exclusive economic zones of other countries like the Philippines, Malaysia, Brunei, Indonesia, and Vietnam. You know, just to remind the international community that all those waters actually belong to China. And a lot of these vessels could carry heavy machinery and lots of people, such as deck cargo ships, which have shallow drafts so that approaching beaches and offloading soldiers and equipment isn't so complicated. So even if the Chinese Navy couldn't bring enough soldiers or equipment to Taiwanese shores on its own, these civilian boats could lend a helping hand. And some of these allegedly civilian ships are suspiciously sophisticated. Take the Zhuhaiyun, a high-tech unmanned research ship that comes with advanced monitoring and surveillance equipment and serves as a mothership for over 50 drones that can be deployed while it's underway. The undersea drones can detect mines or submarines, while aerial drones can spot and monitor targets from above. But it's just a research ship, we swear. In fact, back in 2023, the Zhuhaiyun conducted an interesting so-called research route around the entirety of Taiwan. What a fun, completely predictable coincidence. But there are even more things for Taiwan to worry about. Remember that 2015 initiative requiring civilian shipbuilders to make their vessels dual use? Well, five particular kinds of civilian ships are being repurposed for potential military use, including container ships, multi-purpose vessels, bulk carrier ships, break bulk cargo vessels, and roll-on, roll-off ships. These are also known as ro-ro boats. But I assure you, they're way more menacing than the lullaby, and they'll make life anything but a dream. Ro-ro boats are commercial transport ships designed to carry vehicles. They have reinforced ramps so that large military vehicles, like trucks or other equipment, can be transported with ease. And according to CSIS, China's been increasing its production of these ro-ro ships, with 200 set to be built from the period beginning in 2023 through this year. That's over double what was built between 2015 and 2022. In fact, back in August, six of these ro-ro ships were monitored by Reuters moving from shipyards near Beijing down to the Guangdong area, not far from Taiwan. The Reuters investigation also found that some of these civilian cargo vessels participated in a beach landing drill as part of the PLA's amphibious exercises. Certainly makes it harder for Taiwan to repel a Chinese invasion when they're outnumbered by what's essentially a fleet of militarized maritime Ubers. The PLA could be trying to combine all of these factors into one massive approach, overwhelming Taiwanese defenders with sheer numbers of both ships and personnel. But all of these vessels are still massive targets for the Taiwanese military, which is why China would either attempt to blockade the island beforehand, as they literally just practiced, or launch a cyber attack and strike critical infrastructure before any landings could even take place. The idea would be to whittle away any resistance and force a quick surrender, which is why it's so important for the U.S. and its allies to keep supporting Taipei, and why the country's armed forces and civilians alike need to keep training for the worst. Thank you for watching. Once again, I'm Chris Chappell. See you next time.